now, the tradition continues as WABC presents John Gambling with the mayor of the greatest city in the world, Mike Bloomberg.
Is it Friday already? I think it is, and that means it is indeed time for Mayor Michael Bloomberg here at 77 WABC. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Rains.
This week.
Again. I mean, it's pouring outside.
Right now. So we have a
flood watch. The subways are working.
We have a flood watch in effect. We hear there's some minor delays on the subways, but there are minor delays on sunny days, too.
Look, I can tell you, 2 days ago when we had 3 inches of rain out, we had this terrible hurricane, and I drove from City Hall out to Bay Ridge.
A tornado, sorry.
And made that mistake twice already. I don't know why I did that. Tornado. Very different. And there was one place on the roads under the Gowanus where there was a little bit of flooding, which everybody kept driving through. You just slowed down and went through. Short of that, I will say the roads work now. You know, subways had problems, and there was some flooding someplace, and there was...
I'm going to have to disagree with you, only because I didn't make it to work that day because the trains were turned off out on Long Island, and the roadways were completely stopped. Long Island Expressway, Grand Central, 25A, all of it due to flooding in Queens.
Well, there are places in Queens where it's low, and, you know, we put $1 billion into the subways, have plans under Plan YC to put another, or into the sewers, have plans to put another couple $1 billion.
Not too sexy, sewer money.
Nobody wants to do it. People cut back when times are tough, and if you look at the stock market, we're going to have some problems down the road. I think everybody is. You got to make sure that you still, hold your... keep your hand in your wallet, but you're going to have to spend the money if we ever want to make sure that our sewers can handle it. Keep in mind, no matter how much rain you have, no matter how well you design your sewer system, there's always going to be some every once in a while when you get more than what it can handle. But
even so,
I had the most
you are not happy with what meltdown that took
place. Nobody was happy. I mean, the MTA, all of the trains just totally stopped. I don't know whether that's happened before. You know, they can always have one event where one subway line has problems and they get a flood and they can't pump it out. Here, their communication system totally failed. People didn't know what the hell was going on. What the heck was going on? Sorry. And people... there was this total meltdown. Why, I have absolutely no idea. The governor asked Lee Sander to have a commission. We've got somebody on it to take a look at it over the next 30 days and see what happens. But I thought the most impressive thing on that day was when I got to Bay Ridge, there were a couple thousand people who had responded for the tornado. And police and fire and Office of Emergency Management and health and buildings and sanitation and Small Business Administration. I mean, it was really quite amazing. And you know, if you got there today, you wouldn't recognize that the streets are clean, the broke down trees are gone, there are tarps over the roofs where they lost them. Fortunately, in Brooklyn, nobody was seriously hurt. I think it was one broken leg and a handful of people cut by flying glass. And one of the amazing things is you walk down the street, and I tried to talk to people sitting outside on the stoops of their houses because I couldn't even go in. And, you know, they all had a great attitude. They all were appreciative of everybody that showed up. It was handled professionally. It shows that all the training that Joe Bruno and the Office of Emergency Management coordinate between every single agency and within each agency doing their own pays off. And you never know what the disaster is going to be. That's one of the things people don't quite understand sometimes. Certain things you can plan for: a fire, building collapse, hurricane, snowstorm, those are things that are likely to happen. Terrorist event, possible, but you don't know where or what it would look like. Tornado, there hadn't been a tornado in Brooklyn in 113 years. And yet, all of the emergency stuff worked. Why? Because what they practice isn't responding to a specific thing. It is the techniques of how you would mobilize your resources, deliver your resources, supervise what's going on, coordinate with other agencies, follow up, make sure that the thing works. And I thought that really showed. I was very impressed.
One of the things, as I say, I was in the middle of all of this when the Long Island Railroad shut down the Port Washington branch. I shifted to my car and couldn't get anywhere. You couldn't get off of Long Island. You couldn't move on Long Island into New York City. And what struck me
was... Where was this?
This was on the Queens border.
Which side of the Queens border?
Well, I was on the Nassau County side, but you couldn't move into the New York side.
I don't know. If you had crossed that line, for all you know, in all fairness, there was no traffic and no problems.
There was.
You don't know that, though.
I do know that.
I don't want to take Tom Swasey on, but that's...
My point is, I was sitting there trying to get to where I needed to go and was
listening to WABC?
Of course. There was no other station on that I know of. But the response or what's going to happen if there is a hurricane. Now, I know a hurricane is different than what we expect.
Hurricane's very different
because we know about it.
Yeah.
But once it hits, there will be no movement
No question about that.
That is why
you evacuate people and you do things in advance. And a hurricane is fundamentally very different because you will know about 12 of the next hurricanes that hit.
Right.
Now, there'll be times you'll marshal your resources and the hurricane veers away, but better that than knowing about 8 of the next hurricanes.
But the people that choose to stay, like they did in New Orleans, are going to be in a world of hurt.
Which is why you don't want them to stay. We have procedures to evacuate people, where to take them and how we're going to feed them and water and sanitation and bedding and cots, all that sort of stuff. We have procedures, the fire department, to go and help senior citizens move, have everybody in the senior citizen home or in the hospital move, police to go search every single house, all of that done in advance because you're right. Once the storm hits, the roads will probably be totally impassable. It's too late. And that's why you have to do things in advance. The trouble with a tornado is you don't know.
Right.
Now, you know, they say that there's a possibility of tornadoes. That happens all the time and never happens, so nobody pays a lot of attention. And the possibility, I think, every time you have a thunderstorm, and if it's big enough, I assume there's a probability of a tornado. But nobody expects it. They're so rare. And they're also very localized, so you don't know where. If you look at the pictures
in
the paper.
This one jumped all over
the
city.
Sure. I mean, I've seen a plot of the track of the hurricane. Actually started over by Staten Island, maybe even on Staten Island, crossed over. And it touched down. You look on this map that I saw, we have dots of where there was damage done. 2 or 3 houses together, nothing across the street, nothing for 2 blocks, and then all of a sudden, so you don't...
It's got all that stuff. All right, we got to take a break here. Gone a little long in our first segment with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Please stay where you are. We will be right back. WABC. We continue here on the John Gambling Show with Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC. You came to an agreement yesterday with some of the family members of the victims of 9/11, somewhat different than you had originally discussed.
Well, we want to have a memorial service each year on the anniversary. For the last 6 years, we've had it over on the west side of the site. Right now, that is all a construction equipment place, and you can't do it. And so we've moved it to what's called Zuccardi Park, named after John Zuccardi. He actually might have given the money for the park, I think. And it's on the corner of the World Trade Center site, the southeast corner, right by where the 1010 house. The 1010 house is the fire truck house. They lost a lot of people. Anyways, and you can see the site right from there. I think it's a great place to have that. And, you know, you have to move it around. You have to have it someplace. And I thought some of the proposals were to have it down in Battery Park City, down in Battery Park, which is too far away. You want to have it if you can. And this is really a perfect site. We can get rid of the traffic without disrupting everybody. And provide security and all of the things that come along with it. The issue always was being able to go down into the location, they call it the pit. I don't know, like the term.
The bathtub.
Bathtub, whatever. And first we thought people could walk along. There's a bridge or a walkway along the south side of the site. But the families really wanted to go down. And the issue is, how do you, when you have lots of equipment and open cables and stuff down there, how do you provide security? And what would happen if they had to get out quickly, if there was a problem? And we did find a way. So they're going to be able to march single file down around a little spot where they can leave a flower and back up. I think it will take a very long time.
How many people are we talking about?
See, nobody knows. I think it depends on the weather. And some people come and didn't come before. Some people came before and don't come now, so there's really no ways to tell.
But not anybody is allowed to walk down there. Anybody. Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. I thought it was just family members.
I think basically family members are the only ones that want to do it, but anybody could. Sure, we don't.
Okay, so there's no list or anything like that. Okay.
No. And I think it will take a long time, so we'll open it up early in the morning. We'll let it go all day long until everybody's been able to go down. We'll have some speakers so people can – loudspeakers so people can hear the names being read over in Zuccotti Park while they're on the ramp or going down, because otherwise your family member, you want to hear your loved one's name mentioned. You can't – I don't want to leave now because I'll miss it, and this way you don't miss it. And each year we've tried to vary a little bit make it just different. I think that's always good. You know, new things are always interesting and fun and moving and, you know, whatever you want it to be. And in this case, we're going to have the first responders, police and fire, read the names. We've had the parents, we've had siblings, we've had children, we've had, you know, different people.
This could be the very last year that this would even be able to happen.
It is the last year they'll be able to go down into the bathtub because the construction of the memorial will take over all this area and the other buildings. And so there's just not going to be a pit to walk down. And I've tried to make that as clear as I could to the families. And I don't know who represents the families, but a bunch of people that really cared. Very nice people came in. I had they wanted to talk to me. It's my job to talk to everybody. I'm always happy to do that anyways. And we they came at the City Hall yesterday, and we had a very nice conversation. You know, you look them in the eye. They lost their loved ones. You and I talk about it. There is a difference. And putting yourselves in their position is always very difficult, but you do the best you can.
The jury selection that you went through this week, obviously you were not chosen.
They have a lottery, which you get if your number comes up, and mine did twice, once each day. Then you go to a courtroom where a judge gives you some instructions, and the two lawyers for both sides ask questions, and then you go out of the room, they go out of the room, and then they go through and I don't know how it works. Each one picks some, and maybe they can veto each other's, who knows. But they come up with, in this case, it's civil, so there's six jurors and two alternates. In criminal, it's 12 and two alternates. And they pick. They did not pick me the time, which is not surprisingly. Generally, they wouldn't. Although Rudy, when he was on jury, did get on. And I've been on three or four. There was a murder trial, a kidnapping trial. I forget, but three or four. Before I became mayor and got picked. And I remember thinking that, you know, if you had to be in the dock, this was as fair a group of people as you could hope for. That, you know, I was impressed with the process. Now, this time I just didn't get picked. And
yeah, I think most people that end up on cases think that the system itself generally works pretty well. We all know examples where it hasn't worked particularly well, but most of the time it does. The cell phone bill that the city council threw out, you put a line through it.
I vetoed it. cell phones, well, number one, the bill was meaningless because what it said is kids could bring cell phones to but not into school. And you don't need a law for that. There's no law against it. You can do it. We have a rule in our schools, no electronic devices, cell phones, BlackBerries, iPods, PDAs, whatever. Schools are for learning, and our teachers – we have 80,000 of the best teachers in the world. They work so hard. They're trying to do the best job they possibly can. We've got 1,400 principals who are doing a great job. And the last thing they need is another diversion. And what the kids do is, you know, and you and I too, if we have a cell phone in our pocket, they say, turn it off. Get serious. You turn it to vibrate, maybe.
I turn it to vibrate, right.
But you don't. And you slip down and you see people under the desk looking.
Nobody in this studio ever does that.
They certainly. I just did it. You know, it's natural. And the kids use them for its diversion.
Some have been caught cheating with them.
Cheating, looking at movies, pornography. I mean, a whole range. Everything you'd expect. If you have 1,100,000 kids, you'll have everything going on. And we just don't need another diversion. And their parents say, I have to get in touch with my kid. I have to be able to. This is a dangerous world. Well, number one, no kid in the school system did what they were supposed to do on 9/11. They kept them until parents could show up, and they acted, if you look back, I wasn't mayor at the time, but I think they did a great job, the school system, of acting intelligently, making a decision when, and it's for something nobody had ever planned to handle. But today, we have parent coordinators. You can have their cell phone number, call them. You can, the principal, the telephone number of the school. In an emergency, you call, and the principal or assistant principal or administrator or the student coordinator will make a decision and go to the classroom and get the kid out. If your question is, do you want to have fish or chicken for dinner tonight, that's not something we should pull your kid out. If it's an emergency, call the school. If it's not an emergency, it has to wait. There's nothing more important for our children than getting them the education they're going to need to survive, and you can't have both.
Okay, a couple of questions along those lines. When we come back here at 77 WABC, rolled around to 10:30, half-hour mark. Once again, George Weber. George?
WABC.
We continue here at 77 WABC. Mayor Michael Bloomberg on our Friday get-together.
You know, I was just informed by my ace press secretary, Stu Loser, who knows more than I do about...
He runs the city, everything. But we weren't going to tell him.
We only allow family members to go down the ramp because otherwise it'd be too many people.
It seemed like a lot.
You were smart enough to question it. He was knowledgeable enough to have a real answer. I, the mayor, once again, was sitting there not knowing what's going on.
Well, that, I don't think that happens.
Mistakes
very, very
were made.
Often.
Heads will roll. Thank you, Stu.
The Arab school, the Khalil Gibran International Academy in Brooklyn. It's very controversial. There's going to be a demonstration. Assemblyman Dov Hyken has to upset with the principal of that school.
Principal resigned today.
Did she?
Yep. She, I know the woman. She's worked for the city in a variety of capacities. She's very
Debbie
smart, honest.
Al Monster?
She's certainly not a terrorist. She really does care. And she said something a couple days ago. She got a question. She's not all that media savvy, maybe, and she tried to explain a word rather than just condemn. But I think she felt that she had become the focus of, rather than having the school the focus. And so today she submitted her resignation, which is nice of her to do. And I appreciate all her service, and I think she's right to do so. But now let's look to the future. What this school is a school, and we have Russian dual language schools and Spanish dual language schools. Having an Arabic dual language school is a really important thing. You know, down the road, we need Arabic speakers in this city. Our police department has more Arabic speakers, I think, than the FBI does. At least we say so. I hope it's true. But, you know, so we can respond in this day and age. There's a lot of trade with countries where they speak Arabic, and there's obviously big security concerns given what's going on in the world. It's, you know, not everybody that speaks Arabic is a terrorist, but it is true that there's a part of the world where there's a lot of terrorism, and we need Arabic speakers for trade and for making sure that we're secure. And this is a school where you can, if you're an English speaker, learn to speak Arabic. If you're Arabic, you can learn to speak English. It has nothing to do with ethnicity or an ideology. It's a school. You're going to have to learn to read and write and
people
mathematics.
People are scared to death of it. There have been very few things that on a regular basis I get emails from people about it, fearful because of our situation.
We have a quarter of a million people in the city that are some number like that trace their ancestry directly themselves or their parents or grandparents to that part of the world. And we're a city that welcomes everybody, and we're going to continue to do that, and we're going to treat everybody the same and not discriminate against anybody. And there's a serious educational purpose here, which we have a history of doing in many other cases. I know what's obvious why this is controversial, but I think we'll find a principal that will be able to carry on the mission, and this is part of the educational process of a diverse city that we should do. And we just cannot let this city degenerate or this country into being xenophobic, of hating everybody that comes from overseas. Keep in mind, we should look in a mirror. We all came from overseas, and or discriminating against anybody. We have a history in America of being open, and we've got to continue that. I know sometimes it's, you know, people make political statements or they have fears, and you understand where it comes from. It doesn't make it right.
Trade schools report today that some of the programs are not certified.
We've worked very hard on it. We've made a lot more certified, but we still have. I talked to Dennis Walcott, the deputy mayor for educational policy this morning, and we've made a lot of progress, and we have a long ways to go. Vocational schools, there was a point.
They're critical.
Well, there's a point in the city where they canceled basically all of the vocational schools because they said, you're going to say that my kid should learn to be a tradesperson and isn't good enough to go to college. Truth of the matter is, most of those people that went to college are making less than those that went into the trades.
Trade school, exactly.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with being a tradesperson. If that's what you want to do with your life, there are certainly plenty of great ways to make a living and have a good career.
And if you're good at it, boy, I got to tell you, the sky is yours.
And the purpose of education is not just to make you ready to earn a living. There are other things that you have to learn, how to be a good citizen and the history of the world and how to appreciate literature and music and art and all those other things. But it also is true, a very important part of it is teaching you how you're going to be able to – the skills you need to be self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient, work with others as a team to get things done.
And these vocational schools are good. When I remember going to – in high school, there was a vocational school right behind our high school. And they had automotive and electrical and a bunch of things. And a lot of my friends went there.
Yeah. Let's see here. Newark, New Jersey situation. The execution. A horrible, unimaginable.
Yeah, it really is unimaginable.
Your reaction, obviously, to the fact that, five people supposedly, guns, kids.
We have a society where a lot of people are sick. Cory Booker, who is really a good guy, and he came in to a city that years and years ago, people forget, Newark really was a great city. It was a great manufacturing city. And
one of the major urban centers in the country.
Absolutely. And then they degenerated. New York went down that path, fortunately pulled itself out, and hopefully Cory Booker will be able to pull Newark out. And if anybody can, I think he's the guy to do it. Not the only one, but he really is a pretty good guy, very smart, very hardworking, very dedicated, caring guy, and he's got the right personality and whatever to be a leader, and the instincts are right there, I think. But you have a city where once you get down, people are afraid to testify, and then it's harder to catch the criminals, and then they do more things, and this is just sick. Now, I gather there were newspaper stories said there were five perps,
initially,
and
yeah.
They've got two. I don't know whether they've got the right to or how many there were. Time will tell. But your hearts have to go out to the families of those who were killed. So sick.
It really is.
And Corey's got I talked to him the other day. I called him and I said, look, nothing I can do. But, if there is, don't hesitate to call. My thoughts are with you. I could be in the same situation.
Let's talk about, speaking of kids, ACS story about, 10 instances, where, at least 10 instances.
There were a whole bunch of things we
that went wrong.
We haven't
kids.
Had a real problem, big problem anyways, or many problems. It's always some. In a couple of years, and I asked Rose Gilhern, the commissioner of the Department of Investigation, to do an investigation.
That was last
of,
year, wasn't it? Yeah,
I asked her to do an investigation of ACS. This is the result of that, a big report with some recommendations, which I'll mention in a minute. You have to be – I don't want us to leave office in another 874 days or whatever's left, not having done everything we can to leave whoever succeeds us with all the tools and have an agency that's helping people. You got to step back with ACS. You have some of the most pathetic, tragic. I mean, it varies from, your heart goes out to people who are victims and you want to hate those who are perpetrators. All the emotions are there. These are young kids in family situations that just aren't Norman Rockwell families. you know, there's people coming and going all the time, and it's never even clear what the relationships are or who the people are. And one of the things that has come out of this is I think John Mattingly is as good a guy as you're ever going to get to head an agency like this. And the people that he has working for, he has brought the caseload in the last 2 years since we started to work really on this. He's brought the caseload down per caseworker from something about 25 down to 12, a number like that, so that they can—
Reasonable, manageable.
Reasonable number. You know, they're young, idealistic kids who take these jobs, and they go into situations where it's life-threatening to them, and they still have the courage. There's high turnover because you just see sick situations all the time. But one of the things that John is doing with Linda Gibbs, the deputy mayor who supervises all of the social services and at the recommendation of Rose Gilhern, we have 20, although we've lost a couple, I think we have 18 former law enforcement people working for ACS who can help the caseworker understand what the law is and how to protect the kids. We're going to hire a whole bunch more to do that. You know, if you think about it, the job is partially social work, partially
law enforcement.
And people who do one typically don't do the other. So finding somebody that has the skill sets for both is not necessarily easy, but they're working on it. Not, you know, look, it's the headlines in the paper, but it is what it is. And I asked Rose to do the investigation and put it out so everybody can see. I've never been afraid to find out what's really going on and then publish it. And then let's focus on making it better rather than yelling and screaming. But this is an agency that has a very tough job, and we don't pay people that well, and it's dangerous, and you see things that you never thought you'd ever see. And yet somebody's got to do it, and thank God some people are willing to.
All right, just before we take a break, and then we're going to go to the phones, 1-800-848-WABC, your chance to ask Mayor Michael Bloomberg some questions. You and I talked, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, about energy conservation, and you and your administration have saved everybody a little money right off the top.
Con Ed, in your bill this month, is sending you coupons. You asked, did I get them? Yes, in mine. I have two here. All of these.
Save a dollar.
You save a dollar when you buy these compact fluorescent light bulbs. I can tell you this. I was pleased to see in the courthouse the other day when I was there for 2 days that they had changed their light bulbs, or at least those that I walked by and could see, to compact fluorescent ones. I've done it in my house. We've done it in City Hall. I think we've done it at the Board of Ed Tweed Courthouse building. This cuts your energy bill dramatically, and these compact fluorescent lights on average use 75% less energy and last up to 10 times longer. So they cost a little more, but after a year, you're way ahead of the game with these, and Con Ed is giving a dollar off to every customer.
All right. Very good. We'll get to the phones, and you. We'll do that next at 77 WABC. WABC. We continue here with Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC. It is your turn on the phone. Got a full bank of phones, Mr. Mayor. What do you say? We're going to start with Lynn in Brooklyn. Lynn, go ahead. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning. John.
Mr. Mayor, with all due respect, I mean, on Wednesday, was it that necessary to have to give the key to the Mets player when people are sweltering out on the streets waiting for buses for 3 or 4 hours and you're not even out in those boroughs? I mean, Mr. Mayor, please, something like that can be wait when you have a great day in New York. You didn't have a great day in New York that day. And not only that, you're giving him the key to the city. Who would want the key to the city on that day?
All right, Lynn, we got the
picture.
Well,
Lynn, maybe you're a Yankees fan, and if you are, we're going to give a key to Alex Rodriguez for his 500th home run. I'm not quite sure what to say, Lynn. A lot of things go on in the city simultaneously. I know the service of the mass transit wasn't great on that day, but we were honored to have Tom Glavine and his wife and the three kids in 300 career victories is an accomplishment. Maybe no other pitcher is going to ever do that again. You know, there's questions as to whether there's anybody that's in contention because a couple guys are close but hurt or getting
I asked the question, is there a lock and a door that key opens?
We have a key to the back door, and it looks sort of like that. And history says this is where it came from, but I have absolutely no idea. Anyways, it's a nice thing to do and has nothing to do with the people working. And I was actually, we did a little bit late because I had to come back. I came back after doing all the things in Brooklyn. Yes.
All right, let's go to Peter in New Jersey. Peter, what's your question for the mayor?
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I just have a question about the NYPD. Obviously, the ranks, you know, the recruitment levels are down because of the starting pay and whatnot, but would you consider opening up New Jersey and Connecticut residents that don't have to turn in their driver's license, get New York addresses, and come in and join the best police department in the world?
Well, we'd love to have as many people apply. We take nothing but the best, and you're right. There's two phenomena that's happening. One is clearly the arbitrator's award that moved monies from the new recruits to the more senior veteran officers last time. Really hurts recruiting, and you know, we've been able to come to a great contract to address that issue with fire and the fire officers, with sanitation, with the sergeants, with the lieutenants. It's only the PBA we have yet to do that, and my hope is that we'll get together. I always think that, you know, that what you do is you sit down and you talk and eventually work it out, and I hope they do that. The other problem is that the phenomenon is across this country. It's become harder to recruit police officers. Every police department's having a problem, so it's not just the low starting salary. And keep in mind, low starting salary is at the beginning, and then you get those monies anyways. But nevertheless, it's not a good idea to have low starting salaries when trying to fix it. I don't know why the difficulty in recruiting across the country. Maybe a lot of people who would be attracted to law enforcement are in Iraq. Who knows?
Are there inherent problems with having out-of-state people as police officers?
We have residency requirements to be a police officer or a firefighter in this city, and it's true, I think, for some of the other uniform services and non-uniform services. Each one's slightly different. You have to live in New York State. You can live in the city or in a contiguous county. Now, contiguous is defined as including Rockland, although on a map it's not really contiguous, and Suffolk, even though it's not, and clearly Westchester and Nassau are contiguous. But you have to have a New York City, you have to have a New York State residency, and you agree to pay New York City taxes when you live in these other counties as well. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we toy with the idea, but there are a variety of reasons why you'd want to do that. But we'd love to have you move to New York and apply.
Let's go to Robin real fast. Robin, we have only 30 seconds. You've got 15 of it. Go.
Very quick. Mr. Mayor, one of the things that you've never addressed is the issue that for a lot of us parents has nothing to do with having cell phones in school. It's got to do with going back and forth to school. I've got a 17-year-old son who has some social issues, has trouble communicating with other people. He's a bright kid. He spends 45 minutes on the bus twice a day, and my heart is in my mouth the whole time because he can't call me if he gets lost.
All right, let's get an answer here because we're almost out of time.
Robin, there are problems. My job is to worry about in the schools first, and the teachers just can't teach if they have all these distractions. I think we're trying an experiment to see there's some company that in 16 schools this fall, I think it is, we're trying where you can pay a little bit and park your phone or check it outside the school. The schools just don't have the staff or the space to check them, and we don't want phones in the schools. We can't do everything.
Gotta go, Mr. Mayor. See you next Friday. No, I won't. We'll see you for two Fridays. I'm going away. See you
have
when I get back.
Trip.
Thank you very much. Stick around. Lots to go.
Opinion.